when we stand, I've said this before, but when we stand before Jesus for the first time and we see and we look into his eyes, we are going to say, it's all worthwhile. And we could say that plus, oh Lord, I wish I would have obeyed you more. That doesn't have to happen. You can give yourself totally to the Lord and just commit yourself again to the Lord and just say, I'm giving everything for you, Lord. Whatever that means. You know, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us and leads each one of us and tells us to do certain things. And we're only required to do what he's asked us to do. So that could mean staying here. That could mean going to Ghana. That could mean going to China. It could mean anything. Living in Milwaukee could be a mission field. I did that for 14 years at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. So that was, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, it's 1999. I said, Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work for another year. I'm going to save my money and I'm going to go on the mission field. That's what I said. And within a year, somebody had offered me a position at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. The mission field. Hallelujah. So the Lord knew what I needed, and the Lord knows what you need. So you never have to get uptight about, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't feel like I'm doing enough. If you're doing what you know to do, that's enough. You don't need to pile anything else on top of you, on top of yourself. You know, right now it might be just reading and studying the Word of God. It might be partaking of worship in church and just soaking it up and allowing Jesus to teach you. You know, the grade you're in right now doesn't have to be the same grade you'll be in 5 years from now. Because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher, and he's actively working in each of our lives to bring maturity to our lives. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And there's nothing we have to be concerned or worried about. So when we look in the eyes of Jesus, our goal should be, is Lord, I gave it all for you, and it was worth it. You know, that should be our profession of faith. So tonight, I just ask you to trust God. I'm trusting God that he will pour into us his goodness, his grace, his mercy, whatever we need. We're not going to walk out of here empty. The fuel tank will not be on empty. The little empty light will not be flashing. God's grace and God's power, you know, that's what we want. We want more of Jesus. And as long as you're saying that, Lord, I want more of you, guess what? You're going to get more of him. Pressed down, good measure, running over. What does that mean? It's mean you're going to get more than you can handle. More than enough. So I just want to pray before I get started. Father, thank you for every one of us tonight. Father, we are hungry, hungrily seeking you. And we want to know more about you. That's our question. How do we know more about you? And Lord, we just listen with our ears. Listen with our hearts and our minds, and we thank you for this. Thank you for understanding from the Holy Spirit. We just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to quote a little song that probably maybe 90% of you know. And the title of my sermon tonight is, Don't Worry, Be Happy. So just listen to this. It's not the whole song, but, you know, I didn't want to do the whole song. It just takes too much time. But Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of our days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Wow. Let's see how that lines up with the scripture. Let me see if that song is scriptural in any way. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start reading from verse 25. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And I feel scripture points to Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry in Matthew, and he's chosen his 12 disciples, and he's pulling them aside to teach and train him because they're going to go out and do what he's doing. Instead of just one, there'll be 12. And I know tradition kind of paints this picture that all these people are around Jesus, but when you look at the message is at a little bit more of a mature level. But then as we get into chapter 7, we talk about the narrow gate and the building our house on the rock and the sand. You know, the crowd finds them. And so that's more of an evangelistic type message Jesus switches to. But I believe he's talking to his disciples. And the other thing I want to mention too is I sort of thought years ago that I read a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, and I kind of got a feeling like, oh, I know all this, and I need to move on to the epistles where the meat is. But really, this is meat. This is really good information that can really help us get to the next point in our life, because there could be roadblocks. There could be things in our life that we're just not aware of because we're doing certain things. And when we read the scripture, it brings light. So we can adjust what we're doing so that more of God can come into our life. Amen? Does that sound good? All right, so verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Now, in America, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around not having enough food and not having enough clothes, you know. But the things that do affect me that I have been concerned about are jobs, my car not working, not having a car, maybe health in my body, marriage, maybe not having enough money. You know, all these things, there's potential to worry. And the Lord wants us to be aware that worry can affect our spiritual growth. In fact, in Mark 4, it talks about the sower sows the word, and the things that choke the word are cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. So those are three things that can choke the word of God in our life and choke our growth. And worry is a major one. And so this should be freedom for every one of us. If you think about it, you don't have to worry about anything again. The answer is always with the Lord. Now, if I said to maybe an unsaved person, and I said, "Hakuna Matata means no worries for the rest of your days, and it's your problem-free philosophy," you know, with God, without God, I think they would stumble, because there are very needful things. People die every day of cancer. You know, people lose their jobs every day. People commit suicide. People are embracing these things. And with God, there is always an out. You know, with the Lord, there is always that mountain can be conquered, because he's given us his word, because he's right along with us, we're different people. We're changed people. And that's part of the answer for walking in no worries for the rest of your days. You know, what Jesus has accomplished for each one of us, he has taken us. He's taken us as a people that did not know God, that there was a barrier between us and God. Without God and without hope in the world, he's taken us from a position of being lost, hopelessly lost, and having no place with him in heaven, to a place of, I'm making you my son. I'm making you my daughter. And how am I doing this? I'm doing this by sending Jesus to die on the cross and become a sacrifice for you. All our mistakes, all our mess-ups, Jesus stood in and said, Father, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to die on the cross for my people. And so we who were not the people of God, now he has made us the people of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, Pastor Shelley, old things have passed away. Isn't that great? So we're in a transition. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're brand new people. We're a new creature. We're different from the rest of the world because they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. We do. That's the difference. And so he's placed in us such a treasure. In fact, the Word of God says he has given this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, which is so amazing. But that just shows you he wants to be so close. Now we're family. We're not just servants. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm not calling you servants. I'm calling you my friends. So that implies that there's a closeness that there isn't there with the rest of the world. So, you know, how do you get in that position? By saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You know, you're everything. So all of us have said that. So that's the first step in adopting that problem-free philosophy, because he's made us kings and priests before our God. You know, that should make you stand tall. That should totally transform your whole attitude of what God has done for you and who you are. And it says in says that we are also made ambassadors for Christ. You know, he has given us so much favor, he tells us to go, and he wants us to do his work in his name. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador does the work of the country in the country's name. Well, we belong to a different country now. It's called the Kingdom of God. Hallelujah, we're no longer residents of this world. In fact, we're called aliens, maybe sojourners, pilgrims. We belong to a new country and a whole different place. So that's the first step in adopting that problem-free philosophy. Okay. In Matthew 7, verse 1, it says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same manner or way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, I appreciate what Pastor Gary has said about judging, because it's helped to build that realization that I don't have to have an opinion about people. I don't have to talk to anybody and say, hey, let me talk to you about this person. And I'm just going to tell you the problems that they have because I just need you to know. You know, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, because when you say or think or commit to a thought and say there's something wrong with that person, oh my goodness, why would you even want to do that? Because, you know, it's like becoming noticed in the wrong way. You know, it's causing judgment to come on you in some way. Because there's been times where I've judged other people or I've judged something and the same things happen to me, sometimes almost immediately. And it's some, you know, it's like if, this is kind of a silly illustration, but if Larry like got up and tripped on the chair and I went, wow, what a klutz. And I said that, well, that may be a true statement, but I don't need to be judging him. I need to be going over there and say, hey, Larry, are you okay? But it's like I've thought things like that, and then I've tripped, or I fumbled, or just did something. Or, you know, in my mind, I maybe mocked the way somebody said something, and the next thing I say something just as silly. You know, so when the Word of God says don't judge, just examine in your own life and just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if something comes your way where you're tempted to make a judgment about somebody, you know, even if it's true, why do we need to be saying it? We need to just be free from all that stuff and just serve the Lord and keep our eyes on Him. Now, why do I bring that up? Because this scripture is a progression. It says, don't worry. And that's hooked to don't judge people. And the next part is prayer. Is if you don't have to worry because God's going to take care of everything, and you don't have to be responsible for criticizing people or doing anything that's negative for people, then your heart is clean. And you go before the Lord and you can pray. And look at verse 7. It says, ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to one who knocks, the door will be opened. So, part of our victory, part of our prayer and getting over the worry, the anxiety, and all those things in our life is bringing them to the Lord, is casting all our care on Him. That's part of that process. I mean, you can say, I've got a problem-free philosophy, but if you're not casting those things on the Lord, you're still carrying them. So, you know, it's not like a magical thing that you don't know what you're doing until you do it. You do it. You just say, Lord, by faith, you know, I'm putting this problem on you, and I'm praising you for the answer. I'm thanking you for the victory in this area. And when you're doing that, you're giving it to Him. You're saying, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm coming out on top. I have the victory in this area, and I just receive that. Now, I kind of thought these three things, ask, seek, and knock, were basically one and the same, but they're really not. You know, if I walk up to Dennis and I say, Dennis, would you help me change the brakes on my car? I almost was going to say, can you help me change the brakes on my car? But can you help me change the brakes on my car? You know, you're asking the Lord a question, and you're really asking for something. You know, that's one aspect of this. You know, sometimes we need to ask the Lord things, and the Lord, we know what the answer is. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. So we already have the answer. And then it says, seek and you will find. Now, seeking is a little bit different. You're like, oh, I don't know something, and I need to have an answer, and you're looking for it. I'm looking for my cell phone or my wallet. You know, you're looking for something. And all of us have questions in our life that we need answered. We have difficulties. No smiling in here. We have difficulties, you know, with relationships, with, you know, maybe things in our financial realm, maybe things just, we need to know some things, and by ourselves, we won't know. But the Holy Spirit does know, and He can give us these answers and help us. Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? You know, should I, you know, I mean, all of us can think of questions we can ask. But it says, those that seek will find. Okay, if you're looking for more of God and you're looking for answers that can help you, the Holy Spirit wants to help. And there's things I do. Sometimes I pray, and I pray in the Holy Spirit. I meditate on maybe the question, or while I'm reading the scripture, you know, I'll be asking the Lord, you know, what's in here I really need to know? And I'll just go over it and over and over it again in my mind while I'm worshiping or while I'm praying in the Spirit. And bang, God just brings those answers. So He's not holding anything back. He won't hold anything back. You know, we wouldn't think about holding anything back from our kids that they need to be successful. You know, God will not hold anything back. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Hallelujah. He won't leave us in the dark. And then knock and the door will be opened. You know, we all have callings and ministries, and God's developing them in our lives. And our calling and ministry, it can be many different things. It doesn't necessarily need to be in Ghana or in a prison or... But He's given us these things. And when we knock on that door to go through it, to do the thing that God's called us to do, that door will open for us. And I say this because we are entering times where God wants us to fully fulfill our ministry. And it's not about doing it in the flesh, because oftentimes our ministry is way beyond us. And God's just asking us to do the simple so He can do the miraculous. But walking through that door, like, for example, going to Ghana, that's a lot of things you got to unpack in your mind. Like, I'm going to a different country. I don't know anybody. I need money. You know, and there's probably a host of other questions that a person can ask. But when you knock on the door, Jesus, I want to fulfill that calling in my life, and I will fulfill that calling. Because He's given it to you. He wants those things to come out of your mouth, because then you're trusting in Him. Then you have that faith, and that door will open. Now, you might need to do that more than once. In fact, I can tell you need to do it more than once, because sometimes you get discouraged. Sometimes you get frustrated. While you're doing the simple in your life, while you're helping your family, while you're ministering to a loved one, while you're watching your kids, you know, you can get frustrated. You know, but that's your calling at this point in your life, or at least one area of your calling. And sometimes you just have to knock on that door and says, I'm going through and I'm fulfilling this calling. I'm a child of God and I have the victory in this area. Hallelujah. Is that true? Amen. So ask, seek, and find. All right, I got a couple examples here. Jesus walks on the water, and I forget where this is. It's in It's in Matthew, might be Matthew 14. But Jesus walks on the water. So Jesus is like preaching, teaching, ministering to people. He just fed 5,000 people. Tells his disciples, hey, you wrap up here. I'm going to go and pray. And then for some reason, his disciples, maybe Jesus told them, they got in a boat and we're going to go across the lake. Okay. And in the middle of their calling and the middle of their ministry, bang, a storm hits them. So they're just rowing, and they're probably rowing against the wind. I mean, I've been in the middle of the lake, and I've been in like maybe, I don't know, maybe 3-foot waves. Doesn't sound like much, but when that wind is blowing and you're in that little boat, I was concerned. So, you know, I can feel for them. So Jesus comes walking on the water. Okay. And so they all see him, and they all were terrified. And Peter has a conversation, and I'm going to have Dennis be Peter here. I need you to stand up, Dennis, for me. They, you know, Peter's standing there. You can stay there. He's standing there. And let me say that the other 11 disciples in the boat, they were like terrified. And Peter got up and said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me come. And Jesus says to come. So he overcame that flesh. He overcame that fear. He overcame that worry because he felt that Jesus wanted him to come to him on the water. And so he basically said, you know, he was basically coming. So he's coming. But what happened to Peter is he got distracted and he got his eyes off Jesus. And we know what happened. He sank, didn't he? But you can sit down. But Jesus was right there and got him out. But while we're doing the calling that God wants us to do, there will be that distraction. There's always distractions in our life. And sometimes we feel like we're complete failures because we get sucked in to whatever that is. And let me just say that every day is a new day when it comes to things like this. You can get up the next day and say, you know, Lord, I really didn't handle that well, but I'm getting wisdom, and I want you to show me how to do that better. And he will. And he will, because he does want you to fulfill that calling in your life. That's so important to him. Because it'll bring glory. It'll bring glory to the Father. And, it's like we're not babies anymore. We don't have to be cuddled and fed with a bottle. You know, we're mature. We're becoming mature. And when a son or daughter gets older, they do more things. They have more responsibility. So that's nothing that we need to fear. And realize that when Dennis, all Dennis did was just obey what Jesus told him to do. He didn't do the miracle. That's never our responsibility to do the supernatural. You know, all we need to do is just do what he tells us. Because he will make those things happen in our lives and bless others. All right, let's look at just in the verses before about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I want to say this too, that it's like the disciples were prototype Christians. They were prototype in a sense that when we read and see the things that they'd done, that at this stage in the Gospels, that Jesus was trying to teach them to be like him. Now, how do I know that? Because we know that in in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God. So we know that Jesus was trying to train his disciples to do the things that he was doing. He even told them to go out and to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. So he even, this was the instruction. So by the time Jesus was on the water again in another storm, if that happened, all 12 of the disciples should have gotten out of the boat. You know, and went, hey, Lord, if that's really you, because they would have remembered what Peter said. So let me just say that to encourage you that to step out. If you feel God's leading you in an area, you know, start stepping out and start walking on the water and just simply do the things he wants you to do. It might be taking a meal over to somebody's house. It might be buying 5 pounds of coffee and sending it to a friend you know that likes coffee. You know, you whatever God puts on your heart, these are things that open the door for people to get ministry to. You know, it's the most amazing thing. So Jesus feeds the 5,000, verse 13. Once again, I think this is Matthew 14. So there are large crowds. As the evening approached, the disciples came to him. So Jesus was teaching all day. And disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves food. Okay, Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Okay, now, if this was like the very first time that this happened, you'd probably say, what do? We don't have enough food. But the fact that Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat, meant that there was a way out of the situation. And so you could even see here that Jesus was teaching and training him to do something, to grow and to do the ministry. So what their reply was, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. So it'd be just like Pastor Gary and Shelley during camp meeting. All the ministers are here and they're ministering. Started in the morning and they go all the way all day. And for some reason there wasn't any food prepared because we were all just soaking up the glory of God. And so Pastor Shelley, Pastor Gary tells some of the women in the church, hey, go downstairs and whip something up. And so they come back to Pastor Shelley and they say, you know, the pantry is bare. The cupboards are bare. But we only this is what we have. We got noodles. Cremette. That's kind of for dessert. We got bumblebee chunk light tuna. We only have 1 can of this. And look, we got pumpkin. Oh, pumpkin is really good. And pinto beans. And for dessert, peach slices. So this is all we have. So what do we do as a New Testament believer when we walk into a problem, a situation, and this is our resources? We got a huge problem, but this is our resources. Okay, the disciples got the word saying, you give them something to eat. So the women in the church, and I won't name any one particular because there's a couple here, and they're very good at it. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. But it'd be just like if Pastor Shelley said, you give them something to eat. And they would take these things and say, okay, we're going to do it. Okay, we're going to make this. and send the people down in an hour or 45 minutes. It be there. I don't know how, but that's not our concern. It be there. And the same thing, when the Lord tells you to do something, when he brings things into your life, whether it's personally or whether it's for other people, and he shows you what to do, and you go, that's not the time to say, Lord, I can't speak well. Lord, I don't have enough resources. Lord, I don't know this person. You know, the time for that is over. As a New Testament believer, we take what we have, we take the gifts and callings that the Lord's given us, and we go forward and we do those things in love. And the Lord comes in, whoosh, and he brings the miracle, he brings the life. How do I know that? Well, we're all sitting here tonight. He's already done it to all of us. You know, we know the miraculous. Now we're grown, and now we step forward into those ministries and callings to fulfill them for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Boy, we went from worry to this. This is amazing. So, you know, worry will look at yourself and say there's lack and there's not enough. But casting that care on God is saying, I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at Jesus, and I'm looking at him to fulfill and help me in this problem or situation. All right. I got one more scripture. Let's see. Philippians 4. I want to say it's verse 4. Yeah, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And let me say this, that in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think verse 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there it says, praise God continually. In everything, give thanks. Praise God continually. And you look at that and you think, how can I do that continually? And when you look at this, it says it in a couple places, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, when you're thinking about the Lord, it's a good thing to say, thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Or I just rejoice that you're a good God. You know, praise in our lives will give glory to God, but praise is meant to still the enemy and quiet the avenger. And I don't know about you, but the people around me, I'm seeing them attacked, and some of them severely. And I've been praising God for them, praising God that they have the victory, that they have the grace, that they know what to do. And, you know, these are things that will help us cast our care on the Lord. Because if we're rejoicing always, remember, your flesh is not going to want to rejoice at times. You know, when you get the aches and pains, you want to go lay down and just get warm under a blanket and go to sleep. But the time to rejoice is always. And the time to thank God for the victory is always. Because when you get excited about things, they become more of a reality for you. You know, and it's not just getting excited to be excited, it's an act of faith saying, I have it now. I have the answer. I don't have to worry about this. I have the victory. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And I kind of took that as the Lord is near and coming. But really, the Lord is near with you at all times. You know, he's standing there, and at times, he's probably grimacing, saying, why are they doing that? You know, they should know better by now. But that doesn't mean he's stopping, trying to help us get to the next place. But he's near at all times. Just to know that sometimes will change the way we act and the way we think and the things we do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there's sort of like your ask, your seek, and your find. But it says be anxious. That's saying don't worry. Don't worry about anything. You know, when we get up to heaven, we're not going to be thinking about not paying a bill. We're not going to be thinking, where's my wallet? Where's my iPhone? I think I lost it down in the praise and worship session we had a million years ago. So, but be anxious for nothing, but everything that comes at you should be in prayer. You should be bringing those things before God, lifting them up. We know what prayer and praise does. In the Old Testament, they lit incense and it went up to God. And that's, the Bible talks about that being the prayers of the saints. You know, it goes up to God, but the Holy Spirit and Jesus are right here too. You know, and they're ready to act on our behalf. In fact, they are acting all the time. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So these are things that when we do these things in the midst of trouble, we can be wrapped up with God's peace. That's how he can say, don't worry about anything. Because he knows that if we do it right, he's just going to wrap us in a blanket of peace. And he's going to give us the right perspective, and it's going to be okay. Hallelujah. Boy, there's just so much to say. Let me finish up with this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You know, I got up one morning and I thought, you know, I haven't been thinking about Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, where it talks about blessing the Lord. I thought, I quoted that scripture almost every day for like months. And so I haven't really thought about that. So in the morning, I'm starting to go through that scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. I praise God for that. Who heals, past tense, all your diseases and continuing. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You're king, you're queen. He's crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. So when your mouth is satisfied with good things, whether food or whether fellowship or whether just blessings from the Lord, just trust that your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Just trust that. No more worry. Is that where we are today? No more worry. You know, keep working on it. You know, the Lord will bring us wisdom and understanding in areas that sometimes we don't know. But just keep trusting him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. As long as you're doing that, it didn't matter what kind of screw up Peter was. Just as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. So we don't have to be super spiritual, not making a single mistake, Christians, to keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, so I'm just saying that is we don't need 20 years behind us under our belt. A new believer the first day can keep his eyes on Jesus and metaphorically walk on the water, you know. So, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your blessings in our life. Lord, we thank you for the victory in every area. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you. We're hungry for you. We want more of you. And I guess I just want to extend this invitation to people. If you're feeling in your life that you just want to go forward with the Lord more, or if you feel like you just want forgiveness, or you feel like you just want a few minutes just to spend by yourself, just seeking the Lord, I just invite you to come up forward and I can pray with you, or Pastor Gary and Shelley could pray with you. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is very concerned about you and about you carrying any burden, any worry, any concern. And he wants that out of your life. He wants that off your life. And so I just encourage you, if the Lord's leading you, you know, he's inviting you to come up forward and just soak it up a little bit. Thank you, Father.